Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
My good friend Paul Tonko, there are so many things to talk about on the Congressional Corner, but let me start out with the very interesting story on immigration reform. President Obama has been criticized for deporting too many people. Now it turns out, in fact, that the numbers are going way, way down. I wonder what you make of all of this and whether we're ever going to see immigration reform.
Well, I think it's the pressure that my colleagues are putting on the White House to get immigration reform done. And instead of moving toward this deporting of individuals, let's get the reform started so that we can take the 12 million people who are undocumented and provide for a sound pathway to citizenship. I think that's very important. And, you know, it's the way to grow the economy without doing these cuts that have been superimposed on some of the most eligible people who are, again, struggling with this economy, the working poor, those in the middle-income community that need programs. We're cutting those. If we did immigration reform, it's a way to grow the tax base. And the Congressional Budget Office, which is nonpartisan in nature, has oftentimes to score these measures. In other words, put a price tag on them. And when the bipartisan solution came forth from the Senate, the Congressional Budget Office scored it at $875 billion, I believe. So nearly $1 trillion worth of deficit reduction coming through the growth of the tax base by bringing people into a system with legitimacy and taking the undocumented quality and giving them the pathway to citizenship. So to me, that's a powerful way to, you know, assist the ag community, assist the tech community, the technology community, and the healthcare arena, many of whom are drawing upon immigrant labor that is important to maintaining quality services or productivity as it relates to the agriculture industry.
So what do you say to your Republican colleagues who might say to you, Democrat Paul Tonko, just for, you know, information for everybody, what do you say to them when they say, but isn't that rewarding lawbreakers?
Now, I think what we're doing here is a delay tactic, because you're bringing 12 million people on to not only the tax rolls, but potentially the election rolls. And as you sign up more people as citizens, I think there is concern by some in the ranks of Congress that are concerned that perhaps they wouldn't get their support as new voters. Well, you know, that's not what should be guiding us here.
But you really say, I'm sorry, Paul, for interpreting your sensitive words, is the Republicans are worried about
the political outcome.
Yes.
The partisan political numbers that would come from that. But you know what? Throughout, we have been this nation of immigrants, and it's time for us to reform that system that has been very tough for people who are looking to enter the American dream opportunity. And, you know, we've reduced the numbers at the naturalization office. So there are things that need to be done here. And it does grow the economy, and I think that should be the first order of business. To your question, what would I say to these folks? You know, I'd say, look, you're always talking about growing the economy. You're talking about reducing the deficit. Here you have one of the most powerful tools by which to do that. And what's your problem? I'd throw it back to them.
Isn't it interesting that you have to intellectualize these things and you say, okay, and you have given a very persuasive reason for doing it, and they'll give you something back. But in fact, there's a political motivation beyond. The Democrats certainly would love it because, you know, they're going to be the big beneficiaries. The Republicans hate it because they're going to be the losers. But everybody has to find another thing to sort of talk about as opposed to what's really going on.
Well, too, and I think there's this awareness that our demographics are changing so greatly. You know, the makeup of America, the peoplescape, is changing dramatically, and this just furthers that diversity, which to some may be a threatening thing. And again, we should be doing what's in the best interest of this nation as members of Congress. And if we're delaying this simply for political purposes and political benefit, that's an unacceptable outcome. And, you know, way back at the end of the last campaign, the talk by everyone, by both parties and both houses, was we need to move now with immigration reform. It's absolutely essential. And when you look at what they've done, too, in as a sidelight with this issue, with voter disenfranchisement, you know, making it more difficult for many in the ranks of that diversity to vote, it just complements, I think, their sense of danger here that is related to all of the diversity and its vote.
Switching areas for a moment, I have a question for you. Why are members of Congress and school teachers alike?
Why are they alike?
It's a rhetorical question. The answer is because both of them get blamed for time off. I was married to a teacher who, you know, got up at the early in the morning and was at her desk at 7 o'clock. I was still married to her, by the way, but then she became a college professor and thought she was saved. Taught five classes a day, every day. Most of the college professors I know would take a gun and put it to their heads if they had to work that hard. And was marking papers, burning the midnight oil. And congressmen, it seems to me, when the Congress is out of session, they have to work pretty hard too, but most people don't know it. What do you do during that time?
Well, you know, our off session, our break from Congress when we have district work period is just as busy for me as when I'm in Washington. Sure. I'm home every weekend. And when we have our district work period, it's just a stretch of days where we can do all the outreach. So we've had, you know, many we're here now. We're about 2.5 weeks for Passover Easter break. And in that recess, we've had many speaking assignments, talking to the folks at the New York State Independent System Operator, the grid manager of our electric utility, being there for that outcome, being there with the sitting chair of FERC and with the New York State Public Service Commission chair, networking with folks on a very important commodity, doing a speech with many of the reforms that are essential in some of our elements of business production, having tours with businesses, mm-hmm. Which are very important, having them update us as to what needs to be done, you know, talking about water management, flood control issues at a conference at SUNY Albany. It's never ending. And then all of the visits that you make to constituent events where they're either raising money for certain causes like Alzheimer's disease, others raising money for various efforts that are going to, you know, research and services for folks. So it's never ending. It's not like you're away. You're away from Washington. But for me, it's back in the district and it's full-time overtime.
So we only got a minute for this, but also you get a lot of constituent requests for things like, I fell in love with somebody in South America. They won't let him into the country. Can you help?
Right. I mean, our constituent workload is heavy duty. And, you know, it's something we're very proud of. We have not only tried to produce a very substantive response. Sometimes you're able to do that. Other times it's near impossible, or it gives you an idea for policy reform. And we try to do it in expeditious fashion. So, you know, we're very proud of that, you know, working with many veterans out there, many seniors and services they require, all sorts of activities that enable people to connect to programs and making people aware of various programs that exist for the sole purpose of empowering the great middle-income community and the working poor.
Do all congressmen work as hard as you do?
Oh, I don't know. I just have my own benchmark that I try to respond to.
I
love the job, so.
Paul Tonko, wonderful to have you with us.
Always a pleasure.
And when we come back the next time, let's talk about the Ryan budget.
Okay.